Praise the Lord. Greetings to everyone in Jesus' matchless name. Can you all stand with me, please? And turn your Bibles to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, Sangeerthanam 139, and 1 mudal 12 vareyulla vakyangal. 139 verses 1 through 12. Vakyam prathi vakyamayi vaikkam. And the last two verses we can read together. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Shall we read the last two verses together? If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for the reading of your holy scriptures. We thank you, Father God, for the time of worship you've granted us, Lord Father God. Thank you, Father God, for helping us to worship you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that it was pleasing to you, Lord Jesus, as we spend time in your word. Help us, Lord Father God, to be led by your spirit through your word, that your word would impress upon our hearts, Lord Father God. It would affect us, Lord Jesus, and it would lead us for the next week, Lord Father God. Hide me behind your cross, Lord Jesus. Your name and your name alone be glorified, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. I know it's slightly different from what we've been thinking and studying about in James. We're just taking a quick detour in this psalm. May I ask you a question? How can we know about someone if we haven't met them before? Or if we haven't seen them before? Can we know about someone if we haven't met them before? Nammal aarengil kandittillengil, is it possible to know them? Is it possible to know about them? What are some of the ways? Word of mouth, okay. Word of mouth. Sorry? Rumors, okay. Rumors. Heresy. Writings, okay. Let it be a little bit, just a random, regular person. Yeah, it doesn't have to be someone well known. Facebook, yes. Chat, okay. You haven't interacted with them before. You haven't interacted with this person before. How would you find out? So Facebook. You're all professionals. What other avenues would you use? LinkedIn, right? All right. So, and then whatever the youngsters use these days, you guys know. I'm not going to even embarrass myself saying it. LinkedIn, you would know their professional economical background. Facebook and Instagram, that's the extent of my knowledge. You would know their personal and maybe political leanings. If you want to get a little bit more in depth, let's say, for example, you want to purchase a house or a card or whatever, right? What is something that they would do to be able to get a mortgage approved? What would? I heard some check, a credit check, right? So if you want to get in-depth into a person's finances, someone would do a credit check and get into that. Someone could look at, let's get a little bit deeper. If you want to know their preferences, what else can you do? What does Google do these days? They look at your, what history? Your browsing history, and then they would suggest things that you could buy, right? And there is a lot of avenues that you could get in depth to get to know a person, just to get an overview of that person. But is spoken of in the scriptures. You know, you could do all those things and you could get a good enough picture, but is that the sum of that person? Is that who that person really is? I can maybe find out your likes and dislikes. I can maybe find out, you know, the clothes that you wear, potentially what time you wake up or you go to bed. You can find all those things out, but does that tell me who you really are? No. So in verse 1, what does it say? O Lord, you have searched me and known me. So this, namada deva namale, he's searching us out, okay? He's searching us out to do what? To know us, right? So that word there, search, means to examine, okay? To investigate, to penetrate thoroughly, intimately. So this search that we talked about, you know, if you were to search out a person's history, you would do your Facebook, it's more of like stalking. I wouldn't say searching, it's more of like stalking. You would link, you would check their LinkedIn, you would check their Facebook, you would check their Instagram, you would check their credit card spendings and all those things, right? And you get a picture. But here, God is searching us in a different way. He's looking at us intimately. He's looking into us, right? And he known us to discern, to know by experience and to find out. So all this search that we do on a person, right? We're just doing it randomly online or by what other means or avenues that we may have. But does that mean that we know that person? No, because we haven't spent time with that person. We don't know that person intimately. We don't know what time they wake up or what time they go to bed. We don't know how they are truly given circumstances or whatever situations you place them in, right? But here, what does it say? Namada Devam, he searched us intimately and he knows us intimately by experience. So, the next question is, who do you think would know us intimately? Some people in our lives, who would you think are some people who would know us intimately? Our spouse. For those of us who don't have spouses yet. Huh? Parents. Siblings, friends, yeah, the four usual suspects, right? It is very possible that they would know us intimately. And to the point that they can predict or even understand what the other person may be thinking or feeling. Now, as parents, you would know for your children, if your child cries, as a parent, you would know, okay, maybe this is what they're crying for. Okay, or if they're uncomfortable, you could tell by those expressions on their face, okay, maybe this is what's happening, right? We might think we have got the other person down. We might think that we understand them truly, completely, but in reality, there's so much more, even as spouses, even as parents or children, even as siblings, or as friends, there are things that we might just, you know, not everything, you know, there's just that little bit that's, you know, kept secret. It's possible no matter how close we may think we are with someone, there may be things that they may not be sharing with us. But then, God here knows us. He's known us, he has thoroughly examined us and is intimately aware of who we are. Now, we will, in the following scriptures, we'll get into the depth of which God knows us. Now, the key thing to remember here is we might think that no one in our generation, or maybe even generations older than us, we might think that no one sees us, right? No one knows us. But rest assured that God's word says that he sees us and he has known us, okay? That is a comforting knowledge to have. Let's get in depth to that. The song that we sang today was so encouraging, so comforting for us. It says, you are my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. That's something that you have to put in your minds when we go through the scriptures. You are my friend. A friend knows us. A friend spends time with us. And my brother, my sibling, my close one. You are my friend and you are my brother, even though you are the God of the universe. Okay? Keep that in mind. Verse 2. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. God knows when we plan to sit or we stand. God knows when we go to bed and we rise up. He's familiar with our routines, or maybe even the lack thereof of our routines, he's familiar with those things. You understand my thought afar off. What is that word there, thought? It is a purpose. It is an aim that we have. What is my purpose? What is my aim? He knows that. And he, from far away, he understands remotely from a distant person, because, you know, God is beyond us, right? Now, let me ask you this question. Can you tell me what I'm thinking of right now? No. Can I tell you what you're thinking of right now? No, I cannot, right? Will I be able to understand what any of you are going through? Highly unlikely. It's very unlikely that I would know that. See, one of the greatest challenges that people face today, whether it spans generations, right, is that there is no one who understands me. That's one of the key things that people bring up, right? Whether you're younger, it's like, oh, my parents don't understand me. Whether it's your, you know, you get to a certain age, it's like, oh, my children don't understand me. They don't get me, you know. So be it your parent, or maybe even spouses, right? Oh, man, my husband, he just doesn't get me, right? Be it your parent, your spouse, your sibling, your friend. We may be in a situation that we think, right, no one gets us, no one understands us. But know that there is someone who gets you. Know that there is someone who understands you completely, who understands your quirks, your weirdness, and is totally okay with it, right? I'll give you an example. My wife is not here. It'll be nice if she was. I do things that sometimes border on the OCD, where, for example, when you squeeze your toothpaste, right? There are two kinds of people. It's one kind of people who squeeze it from the very bottom up and then keep it clean at the bottom, and then you have that thick, you know, that tube that you can squeeze, right? The paste comes out, right? I do that. Whereas my wife, she likes to squeeze in the middle, right? And then if you look at cutlery in the kitchen, I like to place, you know, the knives, the spoons, the spatulas in a way that it's all arranged, so I'm right-handed, so you take it this way, right? Whereas my wife, that's okay, just put it over there, right? When you load the dish rack, right, you have to, it's OCD, right? Like it's, I'd like to, you know, it has to be the small dishes at the bottom and then you stack it up so it doesn't overflow, it doesn't fall. I like to play that kind of tetri, whereas my wife, she likes to, you know, be a little more adventurous to see if it sits and then it falls. Or come to think of it, you know, she's very, very gracious and very generous and understanding of me. But there might be times where we think, oh no, my spouse doesn't get me. Why? But God sees those quirks. God sees those uniqueness in us that we think that others don't understand. God looks at that and says, I get you, I understand you. How comforting is that, right? God doesn't reject you for who you are. We might have people who reject us for things that they might not like in us, but God doesn't reject us for who we are. You know, I talk about these weird things, but then there might be other things as well that we are afraid to share with others, to open up to others, and say, okay, this is who we truly are. And we might be afraid to say that because what if the other person goes away? What if the other person rejects us? What if we no longer have friends or we are disowned? പക്ഷെ ദൈവം അത് അറിയുന്നുണ്ട്. ദൈവം അത് നന്നായിട്ട് കാണുന്നുണ്ട്. And he sees that, he understands that. How beautiful it is to have that knowledge. Verse 3. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. To comprehend means to winnow, to sift. Okay? My path is my way of living. And acquainted, it means to be familiar with and to know intimately. My ways means my journey, my direction, my manners, my habit, my course of life. See, only when you winnow can you get to the heart of the matter, to the heart of things, right? What do you mean by winnow? You winnow the grain from so that the chaff, you know, it flies away. You know, we might be putting up facades when we approach people, whether it be at work, maybe even at home. We might put it, or here at church, right? We might be putting up facades for people to see who we want them to see, right? പക്ഷേ നമ്മൾ ദൈവത്തിൻ്റെ സന്നിധിയിൽ വരുമ്പോൾ ദൈവം അത് നന്നായിട്ട് വിനോ ചെയ്തിട്ട് ഹി റിമൂവ്സ് ദോസ് ഫസാഡ്സ് ആൻഡ് ഹി ഗെറ്റ്സ് ഡീപ് ആൻഡ് സീസ് ആ ഹാർട്ട്. Okay, that is the God we serve. That is the depth of knowledge that God has about you and I. He winnows those, you know, that all those facades that we put up and just gets rid of it, because that's not true. That's not who we are. And he gets to know us intimately, right? He comprehends that. He's intimately knowledgeable of our habits, whether it be good or bad, our way of living. Verse 4, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Even before a word is formed on our tongue, he knows it. And so, even before we sit before him in prayer, he knows exactly what we're going to pray for. He knows exactly what we're going to ask for. God knows that. How beautiful is that? And verse 5. Before I get to that, you know, there might be things that we might not even speak. It might just be tears that are rolling down our face. God knows that. In those, he knows those unspoken prayers, unspoken cries. He knows that. Verse 5, you have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. See, he has enclosed us all around. He knows our beginning from our end. See, the beautiful thing there is, who are we, who do we usually think would put a hand on our head? Who usually does that? Parents, right? Parents. How does that make us feel? You know, we are all grown up. Youngsters, maybe as a youngster, I didn't understand the depth or the seriousness of that matter. Now when I think back, you know, when to have your father or your mother to put their hand on you, how does that make you feel? Does that make you feel, man, this is, no, don't do that. How does that make you feel? Safe. Safe? Comfort, right? Think of that. Think of that. The God of the universe has laid his hand upon us, our head. And how comforting it is to have that God who is a king, who is the creator of all the universe, to lay his hand upon you and to comfort you where you are. How beautiful it is to have that knowledge. And that is who he is. He has enclosed us. He knows our beginning from our end. And there is nothing that we can do that would surprise him. There are things that our children might do that would surprise us. There are things that our parents might do that might surprise us. You know, there are some things that our siblings might do, friends might do that might surprise us. But there is nothing that we can do that would surprise him, because he knows us. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. And now the psalmist, David, says, knowing that God who knows me so intimately, understanding the depth of this, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. As Job exclaimed when God responded to him in his trouble. You remember the life of Job, right? And when he was going through all those difficulties, and he was crying out, he was just blurting out all these things, you know? And finally he comes to a point where God responds to him. What does Job say? This knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot comprehend it. I am sorry. And he bows down before the sovereignty of God. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? So David now here asks some rhetorical questions. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? There is nowhere that we can go where God is not there. Where his spirit is not there. And we understand, and we've studied through our pastors here as well, that the Holy Spirit is God. And that means he is omnipresent, he is omniscient, he is omnipotent, and he is eternal. The characteristics of God, that is the Holy Spirit. And in verse 8, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Correct me if I'm wrong. The nearest star to us is, other than the sun, is Alpha Centauri. Correct me to the science kids here. Alpha Centauri, right? Now, so we can see here, we put our telescope in, or whatever, the big, huge device to be able to see it. But now, if you go to Alpha Centauri and put that telescope there and try to look back at Earth, do you think we can see us? No. we won't be able to see Earth. On December 24th, 1968, the crew of Apollo 8, which was the first manned trip orbiting the moon, which consisted of Bill Anders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman, as they were orbiting the moon, this was the statement that they made. They turned on their mics, they opened up the Bible to Genesis chapter 1, and they read verses 1 through 10. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Those astronauts, they realized that you cannot go anywhere. They went, you know, it's amazing, right, to be an astronaut, to go where no man has gone before, and you know, one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. But they understood, these first astronauts, they understood that there is nowhere I can go that God is not there. There is nowhere I can be where His Spirit is not there. And that word there, hell, means Sheol. Now, that doesn't make sense for God to be, we think of hell and we think a lot of different things, right? Now, it doesn't make sense when we say God is in hell. Does that make sense? Is that a place that God could be? See, where are some of the most sinful, hellish places? What are some of the most sinful, hellish places that we can think of? I see some chatter going around here. What are some of the sinful, hellish places that we can think of? No? Sorry? Fair enough. I'll give it to you. Okay. We think of the red light districts. We think of bars. We think of pubs. We think of brothels. It's hard to imagine God being there, right? We hear of all the things that are happening around the world. All the atrocities. There are some stuff. When I was visited family, we were talking about things that were happening in Kerala right now, where a bunch of kids ganged up together on one boy in a hostel and just abused him and he died. It's hard to imagine that, you know, is God really there? Is God truly there? There are examples that we can think of where we think of there's this servant of God who's no longer, David Wilkerson, who founded Teen Challenge and ministered to young drug addicts and gang members in the street of New York many years ago. And then we don't have to go far. We think of Jesus, right? A prime example. And you know, what were the Pharisees' biggest complaint about Jesus? Why are you sitting with sinners, right? Is God really there? What about closer to home? We think of all these things. When we think of hell, we think of all these things are like far away in a different country. What about closer to home? What about our hearts? What do we do in secret that we don't want others to see? What do we do that our spouses might not know, that our children or our parents might not know? Is that heaven or hell in our hearts? Think about that for a second. Can God be there? Would God be there? Now, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. Where would we typically sleep? On our beds, right? And a sleep is akin to being, you can only sleep if you are in a place where you are comfortable, relaxed, chill, right? You can only make your bed there, right? So what does that tell us? This person here is making his bed in hell. He is comfortable where he is at. He is comfortable in his sin. Okay? He's comfortable with what he's doing, what other people don't know, but God sees it. God is there. So even when you are in the deepest quagmire of sin, God is there watching you. You may be comfortable in your sins and not wanting to turn back to God, but He is still there watching you. Why? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even if you're trying to flee away from God, I'm like, I'm so caught in my sin, I just want nothing to do with you, O God. What does it say? Even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. right? We might be trying to escape God. We're like, God, you want nothing to do with me. I want nothing to do with you. I just want to escape. I just want to do my thing and just be myself. Just enjoy life as it is. Isn't that a lot of what a lot of the kids these days do? Like, I want to go from home and I just want to go to college. I want to party. I want to do this, and this. I want to go to work. I want to hang out and do all these things and have fun. I want nothing to do with God. But what does God's scripture say? Your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. Like the strong hands of a good father, he will guide us to him. You know, we think of, obviously we always land on the prodigal son, right? The second son of the rich man. What was his father doing? Was he let him be, and that guy just spent all his inheritance, right? To him, his father was dead to him. And what does the father do? He's just, you know, standing at the entrance just every day. Did he know which day his son was coming back? No. He was just standing there hoping, praying, my son, come back, come back. And when he sees him, what happens? Does he judge him? No. He runs to him. And that's our father, our good father. We might be wanting to escape reality. We might be walling ourselves up, setting up walls in front of us and not letting other people in because of potentially depression, sad things that might have happened to us, sad things that might have affected us. But remember this, God sees through those walls. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike. See, there might be times when, you know, your world might be falling to bits around us, okay? There is no hope in sight. There might be family issues. It could be health. It could be studies. It could be work. It could be things that didn't go our way. There seems to be no hope. Everything is dark. Everything is bleak. I want nothing to do with anyone. But God sees right through us. You know, when you're depressed, right? You want to be in a cocoon. I just don't want to eat. I don't want to drink. I just want to be in my room, in my blanket, just lie down and just lay there and do nothing. Right? And people might think, what's wrong with this guy? You know, why can't I get close? Because you're setting up those walls. I don't want anyone in because no one understands me. No one understands what I go through. But what does God's word speak to us? He sees right through us. Even that darkness which is enshrouding you, God sees right through it. He sees you. He sees what you're going through. This garment of cloud doesn't hinder God from seeing us. He sees through our depression. He sees through our despair. And he is near to help. That's what we need to understand. We might think, you know, we might not realize that. We might think no one understands. But he is there. He's right beside you. Just to, you know, like a good father, to hold out his right hand and to help. And so, as we close, can we understand, you know, think back to the knowledge of who God is and of what God knows about us. We might think, oh, my parents don't get me. We might think, oh, my sister, my brother doesn't get me. We might think, oh, my husband, my wife doesn't understand anything about me. What is going on? I just want to be by myself. But the knowledge that we have is through his word, God knows us. He gets us. He understands us. And so let us surrender ourselves to that comforting, encouraging, blessed knowledge to the creator of the universe who has hedged us, who has put his hand upon us. And he is holding us by his right hand. Right hand is a show of strength to lead us, to guide, not to destroy us, you know, not to want us to, you know, be away from him. It's the exact opposite of that. Just like the prodigal son's father wants him to come back. We might be in a situation where we are running from him. Come back. That's what God wants. And so, as we surrender our lives to him today, please remember that knowledge. Remember that truth that God sees us, God knows us, God understands us, and let us worship him in spirit and in truth. May God bless us with these words, and I'd like to invite the Sunday school students to please come and share your memory verses.